Greetings. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and welcome to our weekly podcast. This time we're going to do a podcast in two or perhaps three segments, which will be devoted to the topic of Chanukah. Hence, the first segment is going out here just before Shabbat Chanukah. The next one will be put out on Sunday, and if a need for a third one, it'll come out Sunday night. The topic I'd like to explore together with you is not something directly related to Chanukah, but something liturgically related to Chanukah, and that is Psalm 30, Mizmor Lamed, which is titled Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. The reason for discussing it at this particular time of the year is not so much the title, but how it was used later on in history. Masachet Sofrim, which is a 8th and 9th century composition in Bavel that records liturgical customs, and many of the traditions that we have in the Beit Knesset are first found in Masachet Sofrim, and it goes through many of the issues of tefillah, especially public tefillah, expands upon the very well-known Mishnah in Masachet Tamid, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalad, Hashir Shalvim Hayu Omrim Beit HaMikdash. It goes through the various psalms that the Levim would recite with the Korban Tamid every day of the week, alternating the psalms per the day of the week. The Masachet Sofrim, building upon several older traditions, maintains that there are other psalms that we say on special days. And it's unclear if the intent there, as it is in the Braita, for instance, about Sukkot, is that these psalms were sung by the Levim on these days, or just to say that it is our tradition to say them. So, for instance, Mizmor Kuf Lamed, Shir HaMa'alot Mima'amakim, was the Shir Shel Yom on Yom HaKippurim. Kol Hamim Tikuchaf, the one that we traditionally say before Tkiyat HaShofar, was the Shir Shel Yom on Rosh Hashanah. And among that list, Masachet Sofrim records that the tradition is to say Psalm 30, Aromimcha Hashem Ki Dilitani, which is a psalm that according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, actually according to the Mishnah, was sung when the people would come to the Beit HaMikdash with their Bikurim, and that psalm is sung on Chanukah. That's the Shir Shel Yom of Chanukah. There are four distinct minhagim in response to this passage in the Masachet Sofrim. One common tradition of Ashkenaz, certainly in Chutz La'aretz, is to add Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit every day of Chanukah to the Shir Shel Yom, such that on Sunday, the regular Sunday, Psalm is said, followed by Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit, etc. And another custom is the custom to add to that the recitation of Psalm 30 in the evening. After Arvit, to say Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. A third tradition is the one that just totally ignores the statement and does not say any special psalm on Chanukah. And the fourth is that unique approach of the Gaon Mivilna, or at least attributed to the Gaon Mivilna, that says that there's only one Shir Shel Yom per day, and therefore he has a hierarchy where Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit trumps the daily one, does not trump Rosh Chodesh, neither one of them trumps Shabbat, etc. So in a year like this year, 5769, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid would be said as the only Shir Shel Yom 7 of the 8 days of Chanukah, and on Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, 6 out of the 8 days, on Shabbat, which is also Rosh Chodesh, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, and on Sunday, which is also Rosh Chodesh, only the Shir of Rosh Chodesh Parchi Nafshi. But in any case, it is clear that both from Masachet Sofrim and from common custom in most communities, this psalm is seen as having some inherent tie-in with the Chag of Chanukah. The obvious explanation for that would be that it's the only psalm that has the title Chanukah in its title, but therein lies the riddle. And in this first segment of the podcast, I'll read through the psalm, explain it as we go along, and then raise several questions about it. And in the next segment, we'll develop an approach to understanding the psalm that along the way will deal and respond to those questions, and in there also explain what the relevance of this particular psalm to not only our celebration of Chanukah, but to the historic events of Chanukah might be. Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. Now, there are immediately two problems with this phrase. The first one is Mizmor Shir is redundant. A Mizmor is a song, a Shir is a song. And the Midrash Tehillim picks this up in several places. For instance, in Midrash Tehillim Sadi Bet, Midrash notes that on Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, which you have the same sort of redundancy, Mizmor and Shir, it comments and says everything about Shabbat is doubled. Two portions of man, two lambs are brought, Shamor V'Zachor, Mizmor, Shir. But here, that's not about Shabbat, so what's the reason for Mizmor Shir? The larger question, of course, is Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, how can you possibly say that this is a psalm sung by David, or composed by David in honor of the dedication of the Bayit, which we all assume is the Beit HaMikdash, when after all we know that that is the one thing that David was not able to accomplish in his life. He never saw the Beit HaMikdash, he wanted to build it but was denied, Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin, and those several passages in Divrei Hayamim Aleph. So, what does Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid mean? Now, we can go the direction of the Radak and others who say that it was composed by David in honor of the dedication of his own personal house, Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, but it would be a little bit difficult to explain why we're making a large hoopla, as it were, about David's own personal palace, which is mentioned several times in Tanakh, but is not a central feature. There are others who suggest that Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid may either have been composed by David in anticipation of the dedication, which is certainly reasonable, or that LeDavid in the title, as we've seen in many, many Pirkei Tehillim, does not mean written by David, but rather in honor of David or in memory of David. And a classic example of this is Psalm 122, where the psalmist begins Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, or that's the title, and nonetheless the psalm refers to the existence for generations now of thrones of the house of David. Clearly this was composed much, much later. So, unclear what the reference to Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid is, and therein really is the larger first question. The second question is the relationship between the title of this chapter and the rest of the chapter. Because as we will see, there is absolutely nothing in the rest of the chapter, in the body of the song, that has anything to do with dedicating this house, the Beit HaMikdash, or any other house. So let's read. Aromimcha Adonai ki dilitani. It's a beautiful bit of imagery. I will exalt you, lift you up, because you have lifted me up. Velo simachta oivayli. You did not allow my enemies to rejoice over me. In other words, to see my downfall. And we have no idea what this person who's singing the song has been threatened with that he was saved from and that his enemies did not get a chance to rejoice over his downfall. Was it military? Was it medical? What was it? We find out in the next pasuk. Adonai Elohai Shivati Elecha Vatir Pa'eni. I cried out to you, I pleaded with you, and you healed me. So in other words, we now find that the composer, the psalmist, is somebody who was threatened with death because of some disease, some medical condition, and he cried out to God, and God healed him. Now, important to note that this psalm, like many other psalms, is a psalm of thanksgiving, and very likely was originally set or composed to accompany the Korban Todah that somebody brought, and that's what this person was singing. And so now he's retelling the story, which if you look in Tehillim Kuf Zayin, is part of the din of a Korban Todah, to publicly thank God and tell everybody the great miracle that happened. That's what he is sharing with everybody, and he's telling them the story. I called out to you, and you healed me. Adonai helita min sheol nafshi, you lifted my life, out of sheol, out of Hades, out of death. Chitani mior divor. I remember years ago, somebody pointed out the curiosity that Chanukah always comes around the time of the story of Yosef in their order of reading the Parshiot, and there are many references in here, or allusions here, to the story of Yosef. You saved me from falling down into the pit. And then this singer, who right now is turning to God and thanking God and recalling how he called out to God and God saved him, he then turns to his audience and says, Zamru l'Adonai chasidav, sing to God, those of you who are his loyal followers, V'hodu l'zecher kodesho, give thanks to him. Why? In other words, he's giving the lesson of his own experience. Ki rega b'apo chayim b'rtzono. When he's angry, it's for one moment, but there's full life when you have his ratzon. Ratzon here means, as it does in early parts of Tanakh, grace or favor. When God is angry with you, that's a minute. It feels terrible, but that's a minute. We'll see about the terror. But when you are in his graces, that's for all of life. Ba'erev yalim bechi v'la bokerina, a line taken out of a sentiment which in popular culture we associate with Annie's song, right? At night, you go to sleep weeping, and in the morning, you're singing, or the song will come up tomorrow. This sense that things could look absolutely bleak, thing you feel out of favor, you feel disconnected, then you wake up in the morning, and you're singing again. Now, Va'ani Amarti V'Shalvi. Now the singer kicks back to a flashback and says, I said when things were going well, when I was comfortable, I said, Bal Emot Leolam. I will never fall. This, in those of us who work in education, recognize this as the mantra, as it were, of many teenagers. Nothing can ever happen to me. I'm invulnerable. And, of course, we all too often hear about the tragic results of such an attitude. And he himself says, this is the way I thought things were when things were good. I will never fall. But notice, the word emot is a word that is always used in Tanakh in the context of houses and mountains. Buildings crumble and mountains crumble. People don't crumble. But here, that's how he uses it about himself. And he adds to that imagery, Adonai b'tzoncha hemadta lahariyoz. When I was in your favor, Hashem, you stood me up like a strong mountain. Histarta fanecha hayiti nifal. You turned away from me, you hid your face, and I was shocked. I was thrown into confusion. In other words, he's recalling that things were great, I thought I'd live forever, nothing would ever hurt me, I'd never crumble. When I was in your favor, I was standing up tall, and then you turned away for 1 second, and everything fell apart. And now, what seems like a present tense tefillah is really a flashback to what he went through when he was in trouble. Elecha Adonai Ekra, I called to you, God. So again, he's now talking to God, not anymore to his audience, but his audience is listening. Ve'al Adonai Etchanan, I cried out to God, and to Hashem, I pled. What was my plea? What was my argument, as it were, for keeping me alive? Ma betza, again, echoes of Yehuda's call to sell Yosef. Ma betza bedami. What profit is there if I'm silent? Beriti el shachat, if I go down to the grave. Hayodcha afar, hayidim itecha. Will earth thank you? Will the dirt thank you? Will it speak of your truth? In other words, if I die, there's nobody here to give you thanks. Now, he's not being egotistic and saying, I'm the only one who thanks you and nobody else will. He's arguing that you gain nothing from my death. And then he concludes by saying, Shema Adonai v'choneini, hear me, God, and have grace over me. Adonai hayeo tzili, be my helper. So this is all a flashback to his original tefillah that took place when he was in terrible trouble. And now he comes back into the present tense, looking back, and says, Hafachta mispedi l'machol li. You have turned around, and it's a beautiful image, because a machol is a circle dance. So hafachta, you have turned around, you have reversed my misped. Misped in rabbinic Hebrew, modern Hebrew, means a eulogy, but misped in Tanakh means mourning. You turned my mourning into a circle dance. Pitachta saki, the imagery gets even more beautiful. You have taken off my sackcloth, vatazreni simcha, and girded me with simcha. And instead of girding me with sackcloth, you've girded me with happiness. So you've turned everything around. I thought I was going to die. I was in desperation. You brought me back, and now I'm very happy. Now, what was the purpose of all this? Leman zamercha chavod v'lo yidom. Many believe that kavod here is really a form of kaved. In order that my inside should sing to you v'lo yidom and never be silent. Adonai Elohai Le'olam Odecha, I will thank you forever. So we have here two large questions. Large question number one is Pasuk Aleph, Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. We have the problem with Mizmor Shir, but we also have the problem with Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. What does that mean? And how does it connect to the rest of the psalm? And then we have a problem of what is going on in the psalm? What has happened? What is the message of the psalm? And if you will, what is the movement from Pasuk Bet, the beginning of the psalm, Aromimcha, until Pasuk Yod Gimel, what happens in those 12 psukim that moves us from point A to point B, where we understand that there's a message to be gained from listening to this person give thanksgiving? Because remember, if we recorded everybody who came to the Beit HaMikdash and brought a Korban Todah and said thank you to Hashem and told his story, there'd be thousands of Pirkei Tehillim. Why are there only 150? Because the ones that we have are remarkable, are said Beruach HaKodesh, we understand them to be divinely inspired, and because they're special, which means there's a message there. What is the message of this parak? Those are the two topics that we're going to take and address in the second segment of the Shiur, and then bring it all together and attempt an explanation at the relevance of this particular parak to the festival of Chanukah. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day, and if you're catching this just in time, a Shabbat Shalom, a Chodesh Tov, a Chag Urim Sameach, and part number two will be presented on Sunday.